Have you ever opened up your photo album from your family and looked at a picture of yourself from 20 years ago? And then you see yourself, you know, today, and it, well, I mean, I have, and you all maybe just don't notice any changes, but I see that, you see that change that occurs. One of the leadership principles that leaders teach is that what gets measured gets done.
From the studios of the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson, a best-selling author and your advocate for the family. Dr. Randy continues the next part of Growing Through Change. Now, to help you be intentional for your life, here's Randy.
All right. Thank you, Kurt, and welcome here to our Intentional Living Center. We're going to get into that teaching here in just about 60 seconds. And one of the points I'm going to make today is about measuring it. You know, how you change, look in the mirror, as I said, you see your change. Sometimes you don't realize, unless you start to measure change in your life, change in your business, change in your health or whatever, that there's change occurring. And if you measure it, it helps. And we'll be talking about that coming up. We're continuing this four-part series on growing through change, how to be intentional in the process of doing this. And I'll take you over to our teaching studio where this was recorded with my staff and visitors in just a moment. Two things I want to mention, though. One is I'd really love to hear from you guys. How has change impacted your life? How have you chose to be intentional? But what do you wrestle with change in your life? Call us and tell us. We'd love to share some of your thoughts on the air on our storyline. So call 888-888-1717 and press number 2. It'll take you right to our storyline. Just say, hey, tell us who you are, where you're listening, how you're being intentional, and what you're learning about change through this series. Love to hear that, okay? Secondly, a reminder that the intentionals, these 10 are listed on our website at theintentionallife.com. Go to the highlights button there, okay? All right, let's take us over to the teaching studio and continue this series on growing through change. There are things that we have control over, but there are things we have no control over. And what this research shows is that people who know the difference between those two are going to face change and get through it better than those who don't. Have you ever tried to change things that you have no possibility of changing? Had a caller yesterday on intentional living. It was an email question from a dear lady, and she was talking about her family, and she couldn't control her daughter, who was 21, had a couple of babies, irresponsible, doesn't want to have the children, and the parents are frustrated, don't know what to do, and they brought one of the children into their home to provide care for them. And she said, we brought this child into our home to provide care for them, but then said, but that doesn't solve the problem. And my answer to her was, you can't solve the problem. She's trying to change a 21-year-old daughter's behavior, and she can't change that. So I told her on the radio, I said, what you need to do is end the sentence after we brought this child into our home to provide care for him, period. That you have control over. See? And so when we think of this idea of being hardy and the things that we can control in our life, let's control the things that God put in front of us to control. And there are things we have no control over, and we give them constantly to God. Boy, that's a hard thing to do, right? Then the last thing that Kabasa found was those that are hardy. She uses the word challenge, and what she means by that is people who face change and see it as a challenge, as an opportunity, do better than those who see it as a threat. Because it's both, isn't it? Change can be both a challenge and a threat, but there's a part of some people's minds and hearts that can face change, and instead of allowing it to become distress, which is different than stress, because we all have stress, right? But distress is when stress becomes something that does harm to our bodies. As Christians, isn't it interesting that we have a bigger purpose? That we know the things that God allows us to control and the things we have no control over, and not be threatened by the changes in life and know that this is a challenge, that God's doing something bigger. I think this is a good message for me. It's a good reminder for me. All right, number 5. We're going through this list of 10 things to grow through change. Number 5, is measure it. I thought, well, that's kind of strange. Why do I want to measure change? It's interesting. Probably most of you have a scale in your home, don't you? Do you ever stand on it, or have you gotten discouraged? I don't know, but but measuring it, you know, we measure some things, don't we? We measure change. Have you ever opened up your photo album from your family and looked at a picture of yourself from 20 years ago? And then you see yourself, you know, today, and it, well, I mean, I have. You all maybe just don't notice any changes, but I see that, and I see, you see that change that occurs. One of the leadership principles that leaders teach is that what gets measured gets done. And so in our lives, if we can start to measure the changes, and I want to give you a really practical thing about measuring change, a journal. Just keep a journal. Even if you only write in it a few times every month, write what God's doing in your life. Write down what kinds of changes you're going through and what God is teaching you. And as I go back and look into my journals from the years before, I see patterns. I see things that either have changed a lot or things that I was concerned about then that I'm still concerned about now. But to have that opportunity to start to measure the changes in your life and to see the changes in your life, not as a threat, but as an opportunity. Number six, as we talk about going through change and growing through change, number six is to learn from others who've gone through it. So learn from others, which is a very powerful thing that we can do. And I wrote down three things that we can learn from people who've gone through change. Either they've succeeded in going through change or they failed in going through it.
You're listening to Intentional Living, and Dr. Randy will be back in a moment to continue his teaching.
Yes, well, I just wanted to say that you can change your marriage by changing the way you think about your mate. I used to think negative thoughts. I used to think, oh, if I could only get out of this marriage. And we've been married for 40 years, and we were unequally yoked for 23 years, which was part of the problem. And, of course, I was a large part of the problem myself. When I finally went to a therapist on my own, because I had been considering separation, I just started to, you know, I was able to thank God for my husband and thank God for his good qualities and to realize that his good qualities, you know, really, really were far greater than his bad qualities, and that he'd changed a great deal since 1990 when he came to know the Lord. She helped me, and I think the Lord helped me realize that, you know, I had a bad attitude and I was thinking the wrong thoughts.
Learning to be intentional will help you to live intentionally, which will have a profound influence on your life and even those around you. When you become a monthly member, Dr. Randy's teachings will help you to be a more intentional parent, a more intentional spouse, and you'll get a better understanding of what God wants to do in your life. Join today, and as a monthly member, you'll also receive the Intentional Living New Member Kit, which contains autographed copies of Starved for Affection and The Power of One Thing, as well as the Intentional Living Wristband. And every month, you'll continue to receive Dr. Randy's teaching CDs. Find out more at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Or call during West Coast business hours, 1-888-888-1717, and press number 4.
Now, let's get back to Dr. Randy as he continues his teaching from Growing Through Change.
Learn from others who've gone through it. So learn from others, which is a very powerful thing that we can do. And I wrote down three things that we can learn from people who've gone through change. Either they've succeeded in going through change or they failed in going through it. The first, of course, is just look at the Bible with new eyes. As you read the stories of some of these great men and women of Scripture, to read them, read the Scripture as a human experience. What does some of those stories tell you about how these men and women face the changes in their life? What was it like for Jonah to go through the changes in his life. And how did he respond? What was it like for Joseph to go through the changes in his life that were so unexpected? And what can you learn as you read the story, not only as a biblical principle, but as a human being? What did these men and women do? What do we learn from these snapshots from biblical history? I think another thing to look at when you learn from others is to read biographies of people. Christians, read the lives of people and what they've experienced and how did they face the changes in their life and what can I learn from what they went through. I brought a couple biographies with me from my home this morning that I've read in the last year or so. This one, you know, over 700 pages, it's called The Team of Rivals. And it's a biography by Doris Kearns Goodwin, who's a very well-known historian and author. And this is the whole story of Abraham Lincoln and the 1860 election. And after he was elected, what he went through in the White House, and it's all of his personal journals, and it's about the relationships. And you get a glimpse into the life of this man, and you realize, how did he deal with losing that Senate race? What did he go through? What was that like for him when he ran for the Senate and the Douglas-Lincoln debates? And he won the debates, and yet he lost the election, see? And what did he experience, and how did that impact his relationship with his wife? How did he face it when his son died? How did he face it when his wife, who apparently had mental illness, and you see the whole story and how he had to face that in the White House? How did he face... Being the commander-in-chief and having generals that didn't want to follow his orders and how he dealt with that. And you see a whole human side of this man. We all know Abraham Lincoln. But to get in and see, and as I read that, I would write in the column things that I'd say that applies to my life, and I could see these are great characteristics. Here was another one that I read last year on George Washington from Ron Chernow, a book on the life of George Washington, and to see what the human side, it's not just the founding father. You all of a sudden see this man and what he faced and what he went through and the challenges he had. If we want to grow through the changes that are coming, learn from those who've gone through them, which is the third group. There are people that you and I can talk to who have been through the changes that we're going to be facing. If you're going to be facing an empty nest, there are people who've been through it, right? If you're facing a health challenge, there are people who've been through that, who are godly people, who love the Lord, who can help you deal with some of the reality of the changes. If you're facing retirement, there are people who've been through that process and things that they have learned that can be very positive for you to learn from as well. And so, learn from those who have gone through it. Number seven, look forward beyond it. You're in the middle of going through a divorce. Some of you have been there. Some of you know people going through that right now. There's life after that. Some of you are going through a change, maybe with your children and your relationship. Look forward to maybe the days ahead beyond it. We get so caught up in where we are at this moment, we need to look forward to what happens after it. Here's what happens in change. Many of us get stuck in the process of going through change, and we never come out the other side.
Boy, I want you to linger there for a moment thinking about that. We're back here in our Intentional Living Studio Live, and we'll wrap up this series tomorrow, but don't go away. We've got some more on this topic coming up in just a moment. But linger there. Some of us get stuck. We can't get through the empty nest. We can't get to the retirement. We can't get through the loss of job. We can't get through a health crisis, sometimes of our making, sometimes not of our making. And getting stuck is such an unhealthy thing. It happens, but it's unhealthy. We'll talk more about how do you continue to grow through change coming up. I just want to pause for a moment and thank specifically men and women, couples, singles, businesses, people around the country who stand in financial support of the Intentional Living Ministry. We are listener supported. And when I see, like, here's Diana from Sun City, Arizona, listens to 90.3 Family Life Radio, joined in support as a monthly member. Thank you, Diana. Here's Natalie up the road in Scottsdale, joining every month, $50 in support. Thank you. And then here's Lisa in Saginaw, Michigan, and Dawn in Jackson, Michigan. And we have people all over the country who are saying, hey, count on me. I'll be a part of the ministry. We'll be sending to you our thank you kit, two of our books, Intentional Living Books, Power of One Thing and Starve for Affection, both autographed, along with some teaching from the Intentional Living series on transitions, and then every month a brand new CD to say thank you. Come and be a faithful member. And if you're supporting now, please stick with us. Your support really, really is making a difference. And all you have to do is go to theintentionallife.com to join us. Theintentionallife.com. And thank you. God bless you. Thank you for your support.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Andy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
If you've got a minute, I dare you to try this habit.
Welcome to the Intentional Living Minute. Your host is Linda Swindling, our intentional workplace expert.
You know, successful people have habits that others just aren't willing to do. One owner of a family-owned business told me that he does the same thing every day. Every morning before he takes a phone call or checks email, he takes 30 minutes to breathe deeply, read something inspirational, pray, and really look at his calendar to see if what he is doing is important. He said this has made all the difference. Successful people are disciplined and they're focused, and they dare to say no to time wasters and activities that get them nowhere. So what activity could you do? What habit could you adopt this week? Go ahead. I dare you. For Intentional Living, I'm Linda Swindling.
For more insight and encouragement, go to theintentionallife.com.
I tried to start building him up, but he didn't know how to take it at first.
Thousands of people are discovering the power of intentional love.
He said a prayer and asked God to give us many more years together.
Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. Let me show you how you can have that loving, intimate marriage relationship that you desire. Join me for the Intentional Love Marriage Conference, March 24th at Agape Church, San Luis Obispo. Go to theintentionallife.com.
Hi, Randy. This is Diana. I'm in Chandler, Arizona. I just had a quick comment. The intentional thing that I hear on the radio a lot and the comments and people talking about everything, I had addiction to emotional things, hurts and wounds that became the pity parties, other items. I could never understand how I would just keep going around the same mountain. But listening and listening over the years and keep feeding the Word of God, I changed my mind. And when you get delivered in your mind, your heart, your whole purpose just changes up. And I thank God, because if you hadn't been on there talking, I would have never thought about what I was thinking about and reevaluating my heart. And I encourage those that listen. Sometimes it's hard to hear, but it's worth every moment. So thank you again from one of the faithful and very grateful listeners.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you. That's great encouragement. 888-1717. Let's go to Tennessee. I love Tennessee. Randy's on the line there. Hi, Randy. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Randy. Thank you. I enjoy seeing your picture on the way to work every day.
Well, where do you see
a large building board?
Oh, you do?
Yes, sir.
Well, all right. Well,
a very large bulletin board on the way into the city of Chattanooga.
Well, all right. I hope I didn't disappoint.
Oh, not at all, sir.
All right. Hey, what one thing and change would make a difference in your life?
We're looking for a way to change a path or a legacy. I'm a third-generation divorcee, and I spent my marriage trying not to be a divorcee because of the past and what we've come from. So how do you put the brakes on the past?
Yeah. Well, you can't let it continue to creep in. It's there. It's a reality. There's always a cost associated with an action or lack of action in our life. And But I think Satan loves to take our past and use it against us, Randy. And there's a point of forgiving others, obviously, forgiving ourselves and realizing, here's the picture I have, that the windshield on your car as you're driving to work in the morning is always many times bigger than the rearview mirror. And the only reason I look in the rearview mirror is to see where I'm coming from, and maybe at times to see what's coming up from behind. But other than that, I take a glance at the past or what's behind me, but I put my gaze on the future, which is ahead of me.
Right.
What's difficult for you doing it? What's the toughest part? Have you not? I mean, there's some unresolved things you need to fix.
Well, I come from like I said, I'm a third generation divorcee, and I'm sorry to say that, but I see the impact on it. I see the acceptance among, family saying, you know, there's a third generation brought up in a very Christian military. My father's retired major, brought up in the military home. My mother raised us. And everything that we talked about or worked on in our marriage was not to be divorced. I mean, it's just something that you talk about. When you come from a divorced family,
yeah,
you talk about not being divorced. So right, that past, that legacy, a third generation, how do you just put an end to it?
Well, I think, you know, to me, Randy, it's a decision. And when things happen, we have to look and see, can I go back and reconcile? There's a difference between reconciling and restoring. And reconciling is really a picture of putting things into balance and understanding what's happened, learning from it, trying to reconcile, understanding what happened, having a process of forgiveness, maybe reconnecting with people in a healthy way. In other words, finishing what's back there that we can finish. You know, that little saying, I'll do what I can. You know, the things that I can't, I leave in God's hand. I got to go back and take care of certain things. But there's a point where you can't do everything. And I'll tell you what, life is like, to me, it's like wearing a Velcro suit, you know, and you pick stuff up as you walk along in life, and it starts to weigh you down. Life is cumulative. What we accumulate at age 18 is much different than what we accumulate by age 88, see? And so if we continue to accumulate these things in a negative way, it weighs us down. And when the scripture says that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, I think it's there that we can see some healing in our life. So, look, we're talking about the enemies of change. Yours could be discouragement. It can be anxiety. It can be fear. It can be many factors that keep us from changing. But I hope that's a help to you. Thanks, and drive safely. Okay, my friend? Let's go to Georgia. Down the road, Jennifer's on the line. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's the one thing you'd like to change?
Well, in my relationships, especially with my spouse, I would like to change me appreciating him more instead of looking at everything that he does and that I wish he would change.
Do you find then you get an attitude problem?
Yes, I'm very critical, and I have a control issue where I always feel like I have to be in control, because when I'm not in control, I feel like things are going to go bad.
Mm-hmm.
And it creates a lot of problems in my marriage.
And so it's control, because if you don't control, you think things are going to turn south and you're responsible for everything.
Correct. When I was younger, there was a lot of things that happened in my life that I had no control over at the time.
Mm.
And I think I developed this attitude that if I'm not in control, bad things happen.
Yeah. Well, what's it like when you decide not to control?
It gives me a lot of anxiety,
mm-hmm,
and it's very scary. But, I mean, in the end, the bad thing I'm thinking about doesn't happen.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's just a pattern of me just keep doing it and keep doing it, and eventually it's going to get easier for me.
Yeah, well, we're talking about two things here. We're talking about habit formation, that we want to develop habits that are consistent with God's commands in Scripture. And sometimes habits are not easy to formulate, healthy ones, because the unhealthy ones are easier to fall back on. I would encourage you to go to a scriptural passage and do a little study and maybe memorize this yourself. Philippians 4, verse 6, Paul says, don't be anxious for anything, which is that's a tricky thing. I mean, to be anxious for nothing, because anxiety is one of the major symptoms that we have of change. When we get into change, we want to change, we get anxious about it. He says, don't be anxious for anything. He gives us the formula here. But in everything, prayer, petition, with thanksgiving. And I think that's a powerful threesome there for you. Prayer, you know, praying to God, petitioning God, asking for his strength, and then giving him thanksgiving, focusing on the things that are true, and as Paul says in Philippians 4:8, whatever is right and pure and admirable, praiseworthy, think on such things. And I think it's just a matter of continuing to develop the habit, taking baby steps, doing it consistently and intentionally, and it will change your life. Okay?
Yes, I think so too.
All right. We're praying for you, Jennifer.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You can do it.
I want to tell you how much I appreciate your ministry about being intentional in our living, and I pray that it will reach more people for the kingdom of God, as well as keep people in the kingdom of God that are falling through the cracks or maybe just needing some strength from the Lord.
What you're doing to be intentional in your marriage. I have given up with my addiction to pornography, and it has improved my marriage immensely with my wife.
I've learned that God has a plan for my marriage and my family. I am striving to have a closer walk with the Lord and praying for salvation for my family.
You know, when I think of these stories that continue to come in, and I'm hearing from folks as I travel, telling me how living intentionally is making a difference in their life, I would like to ask you, how has intentional living impacted your life? What difference does it make? You're investing time to listen, hopefully also applying the principles to your life. I'd love to hear, so we could share with others on the air. Tell us, how has intentional living impacted you? Give us a call, 888-888-1717, and tell us on our storyline, okay? A couple of things in closing up the program today. By the way, we're going to be wrapping up Growing Through Change tomorrow, and I hope you'll be back for that. But a couple of things, a reminder that the Intentional Love Marriage Conference date night that we've been talking about is right here. We're just on the cusp of this conference series. In fact, it's not tomorrow, but starts a week from tomorrow on the 24th, Friday, a week from Friday, 24th in San Luis Obispo, Agape Church. My wife, Donna, and I and our team will be there, and I promise you're going to have a great time. You're going to laugh and learn, have resources available to you, and I want to meet you personally. Bring some friends. Bring some other couples. Make it a great experience. It'll be a date night where you will laugh and learn, I promise. And I don't know. We have limited seating. You have to check out what's available. Just go to theintentionallife.com. Click on the You'll see the events there, and click on the San Luis Obispo Intentional Love Marriage Conference. Again, that's coming up on the 24th. Go to theintentionallife.com. And for members, if you're not a member, come and join us. Be a part of the team. We've got a special kit ready to go in the mail to you, including some of our books and materials to say thank you for your monthly support. Can I challenge you to join us at $1 a day, $30 a month? That'd be a great help. Again, go to theintentionallife.com. See you next time from Intentional Living.